The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So welcome, everybody. As I said before I turned on the recording, it's so nice to see you all. And a warm welcome. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about this idea of not when a difficult thing happens, an uncomfortable thing happens with others or with ourselves, to not have anger or blaming or despairing or making up all kinds of wild stories. Because this happened, it means I'm this type of person, or because this happened, it means that person is like that, or you know, whatever our minds like to do. But there's no end to these things that minds like to do. Our minds also have this idea that there should be a deadline, like, okay, well, this should have happened by now. And because it hasn't happened, something happened. That has a meaning too. But is there a way instead that we can hold these difficulties, whether it's just things haven't occurred on a deadline that we would like, or can we hold these difficulties without blaming, whether blaming ourselves or blaming others, or without having anger or this anger that can just boil up into a rage? But can we hold it in a more spacious way with a mind that feels more peaceful? That's maybe with a mind that has enough ease that it can more readily see into the causes of the difficulty, rather than just being reacting to it. So one word we might use to what I'm describing is patience. Often we think of patience as gritting our teeth and not losing it, quote unquote, before, you know, when something difficult is happening, we're like standing there in line, but maybe the loud, you know, doing that kind of like really loud and a sigh. So we're not doing anything, but everybody else knows that we're impatient. That's not what I'm pointing to. Sometimes we think that's what patience is. It's just standing there and not yelling or not doing something. But there can be a way in which impatience shows up the same way as not doing anything. But this idea of that we can come back to some non-reactivity, some spaciousness and some ease, as well as this idea that things don't have to happen on our preferred timeline. Of course, we want them to happen on our timeline, but is there a way that we can meet them with some spaciousness, some ease, and so loving kindness? In some ways, loving kindness and patience are really close, because anger is really closely associated with impatience. Sometimes they're indistinguishable. Sometimes one leads to the other. Sometimes they're really the same. We use anger when it's really just impatience. So the opposite of anger is some loving kindness. The opposite of impatience is patience. So in this way, seeing this relationship, we could also see how our cultivating our loving kindness practice is not only for opening our hearts, not only for allowing some warmth and some kindness to pervade and imbue our lives, but also it can show up as having more patience in some everyday experiences, as well as patience in our meditation practice. That is, not expecting, but like being okay that we have to come back to, if we're doing loving kindness practice, for example, our mind wanders and we just come back to using the phrases if that's the way that we're practicing. It doesn't matter how many times we have to do that. mind wanders, we just come back. In Pali, this, which is the language of the ancient Buddhist scriptures, the word for patience is kanti. And it also can be translated as like endurance or forbearance, and just kind of this just hanging in there. But it also has this quality of hanging in there, but not with a clenched fist, nor jaw tight, sighing really loudly or something. So this idea of patience and loving kindness that can really make our lives so much richer. Maybe one thing I'll say, when I started to look into patience, I started to realize how much impatience, like these flickers of impatience, just shows up all the time. And daily life, being at the stop sign or the stoplight and the person in front of you, right, just, I'm assuming they're like looking at their phone or something and the light has changed or it's their time to go and they don't go. And just to feel that kind of little flare of like, wait, don't they realize I have someplace to go? This, I'm exaggerating to make a point, but they're just these little flickers that so often arise in our life. So loving kindness is an opportunity to maybe create more space and so that those flickers don't arise as often. Or if they do arise, maybe they don't have the same strength or the same heat to them. Maybe one other thing I'll say before we start our meditation, this idea that's about patience, I'm talking about, helps us to not be angry. But there's also a way sometimes when we have difficult situations, opposite of anger, there can be this collapse into hopelessness or feeling overwhelmed, this powerlessness. So that when we come up with something that is a difficulty that might cause impatience, there can be a way in which we just kind of collapse. I'm thinking that that's patience. But is there a way that we can keep our hearts open, our minds open, and have the ability to wait without ill will, wait without a little bit of anger? I said that was the last thing. Then maybe there's one more thing that I'll say. Patience is a little bit different than equanimity. And that equanimity is more like we're not bothered. On the outside, it may look the same where a person is just waiting calmly. Patience is, there's still irritation. There's still some bothering. There's still some bit of uncomfortableness, but it not getting blossoming into a big giant problem. So patience and loving kindness turn out to be really close, actually. Not exactly the same, but related. Okay, so maybe with that as an introduction, we'll do some loving kindness practice. And we'll start with some mindfulness. I'm going to just adjust my chair here. My poor chair sometimes sinks. Okay, so sometimes I'm in a chair, sometimes I'm on the floor, and so I'm on a chair. This is one of the hazards. So just arriving, whether you are in a chair that's sinking, or you're on the floor, on the couch, on the bed, wherever you might be. Just arriving. Feeling into this moment. Feeling the bodily experience. Bringing a sense of presence to what it feels like to have a body right now. And paying attention to the, or bringing awareness to the connection between the body and whatever it is we're sitting on, so that we feel connected, grounded here. This can be a tremendous support for our practice. Feeling the pressure against the body, whether that's the back, the buttocks, the feet. And then resting our awareness on the sensations of breathing. This body is breathing. And the movements, the expansion, the contraction associated with breathing. And when the mind wanders, as it's apt to do, just very simply, gently begin again. Feeling how the body knows how to breathe. You don't have to do anything special. We're just tuning into the experience of breathing. Just a reminder, you can always come back to this practice. Mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. If for whatever reason it feels like loving kindness practice is not the right practice for you right now. But to begin our loving kindness practice, let's start where it's easy. No need to start where it's complicated or difficult. So bringing to mind a lovable being, whether it's our pets, we saw some of our friends, our pets on Zoom before we turned on the recording. Whether it's a human being, somebody you have a relationship with and you have an uncomplicated relationship with. It inspires this love, this warmth, this care. Maybe it's somebody you don't know, but they've touched your life through their teachings, through something that they've offered the world. Maybe it's an imaginary kitten, puppy, baby. Whomever is bringing the lovable being to mind. It connecting with them in any way that makes sense for you. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to feel this open-heartedness, this warmth, if it's there, to feel it for this lovable being. Perfectly fine if it's not there. We're just creating the conditions. Sometimes the loving kindness arises, sometimes it doesn't. But if it is there, can we tune into it, how it feels in the body, how it feels in the mind. And can we extend our loving kindness to a good friend, somebody in our life, maybe presently or maybe in the past, for whom we care about them, we appreciate them. Can we bring the same open-heartedness to them? Bringing the friend to mind if they haven't already. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can we see how this loving kindness, this warmth with a dear friend is related to patience, this openness, this not demanding that things be a certain way, but a care and a respect. And then can we expand our loving kindness even further? Extend it to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. There will be times in our lives when we need patience. And the beautiful thing is that this capacity can be developed. And loving kindness can be part of that. The openness, the spaciousness, the non-anger. And the recognition that we might have to begin again and again and again. It's perfectly fine. We're not in a race. And then extending our loving kindness for a neutral person, somebody we don't know. It takes a little bit more effort to bring this person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then we can end with some equanimity practice. This practice, we use a different phrase, bringing to mind somebody who's mildly irritating, not the most difficult person. And we can say this phrase. I wish you happiness. And I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. Equanimity practice is a tremendous support for patience. But if we can't have equanimity, maybe we can be patient. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. it occurred to me that maybe we can practice our patience even with that bell. There's a little more space between the different ringing of the bell than often I do. You probably know where this is a recording that I'm playing. I just think the quality of the bell sound is better than my Zoom, and my bells just don't make such a good combination. So patience as a sense of openness or willingness, maybe some non-anger. And now loving kindness practice, of course, part of the way it'll show up in our lives is maybe not as effusive warmth or something, but just as a little more patience, a little more tolerance, a little more willingness to be with a difficulty and without insisting that things go our way or go on the timeline that we would like things to go. So now I'd like to put you into breakout rooms where you can talk about this idea, this relationship between loving kindness and patience. Maybe you've seen this in your own life. Maybe you're not even sure that there is a relationship and you'd like to explore this some more. So you can do this where just say one idea about patience and loving kindness, and then it goes to the next person, and then they say one idea, and then it goes to the next person, and then can go back around the circles. So in this way, you have learned from each other and can create something together, allowing yourself to be influenced by what others say. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. What I'm pointing to is not to have an attitude, not that you know everything already and you just need to make sure everybody knows that you know, but more like, let's see if we can, you know, explore this together. It doesn't, as I said, not, we don't all have to think the same. We don't all have to agree on everything, but can we allow ourselves to be open to hear what others have to say, which of course is an act of loving kindness. So we will be in groups of three or four, and we will meet for 14 minutes. And let's see, I just want to check and make sure that so Claire, I see you're here twice. Okay, so I'll put you, both versions of you, into the same room. So that makes it a little bit easier. There we go.
Sorry, I'm doubling up on my computer and my phone.
That's perfectly fine. Sorry,
I'll explain another time.
Yeah, but I noticed that earlier, and I just didn't want one of each to be in different rooms. So otherwise that gets complicated.
I could split me down.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Would anybody like to ask a question, share a comment about how that was in the groups, or this idea between this relationship between patience and loving kindness?
I just want to say, I hadn't heard the...
Oh, I'm sorry, Deborah, you just got...
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I unmuted and then you unmuted me too or something. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard the two statements for equanimity, and I really liked those. And I'll give you a smile. So I have a magnet on my refrigerator that says it's not my circus and it's not my monkeys. So I think of that when I think of equanimity. But I really like this, so I wrote it down and I'm going to use it. And I see the difference. I almost think that the latter, the equanimity, is more being loving to myself than it is sending loving love out there. Because if I'm really loving myself, I'm I think it's a loving practice to yourself to not get involved in other people's problems, really.
Yeah. And it's also a sign of respect for them to recognize, like, okay, you know, they what this is their lives, it's not our life. It's
right. And more I realize, you know, they're going to figure this out, or someone else will step up. It doesn't always have to be me. Like, give them time. You know, if they're about to run into the street, that's a different story. But
that's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Debra. Great. What was it? It's not my circus and it's not my monkeys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Claire. Up, you're muted.
Here we go. I got it. Yeah, no, actually, I'm going to spin off Deborah for a minute because she triggered something that a new thought for me, which is that for me, patience makes kindness possible. It's like the doorway to kindness. If I'm impatient, kindness is not in the anywhere on the horizon. I have to stir it with patience.
Okay.
To ease my way in.
But would you say the opposite is true, Claire? When you're kind, that it's easier to be patient when you're feeling kind?
No. I can't get to kind. I'm very impatient, so I have to work on patience first.
Okay.
But it was interesting when you shared, the first thing I thought of, and this sounds like it may sound like it's off the walls, but, you know, in the Bible, there's a letter by St. Paul that talks about love. And the first, some of the main lines are, love is patient, love is kind, right in a row. And then it bears all things, believes all things, endures all things.
Oh, so it's really
love never fails.
Very nice.
And it's exactly what, you know, it's the same concept.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Thank you. I wonder if, you know.
It's beautiful, the whole letter, if you want. Yeah, you should read it. It's really gorgeous.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Okay, so we're 1 minute after the hour, but with a heart full of appreciation and looking forward to see you again next week. If you'd like, you can unmute and we'll say goodbye. So, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bonsoir.
Bye, everybody. Thank you, Diane.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye,
everybody.
Thank you.
Good night,
Julie.
Good night,
you all.
Bye.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Deep bows.
Thank you,
Jerry. Be well.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah.
Bye.